Hello, my friends. I'm Bianca, the Ticking Time Blonde. We have a very special edition today of the Free Watch Collection. Our first international guest, Flip. Welcome to Perth.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
And also to the channel. So you've been in Perth a few days now and you've been to a local watch meetup. How was that for you?
Yeah, it was super interesting. I'm lucky enough to travel a lot, so I get to see a lot of watch collectors all over the world in different places. That's also how I essentially ended up in Perth, even though I've been to Australia many times. Most watch collectors in wherever over the world have the same philosophy. They have the same passion, and it doesn't matter if it's for certain watches or certain brands or for certain complications. The passion is always the same.
That's awesome. So where did this hobby begin for you?
I think it's a long time ago. When I was a kid, my dad was already always like gazing through windows, shopping windows, whenever you go to a shopping street, and it was like watch brands. It's like, oh yeah, this watch and that watch. And it's like already, I would say 30 years ago, 35 years ago or something. He always had a Rolex Submariner back in the day, and he was always very proud of that, but he wore it every day. And he also had an Omega Seamaster, so also diving watches mainly for him. He was an old captain on freight ships, really back in the day before I was born even. So he's been to Perth many times,
nice.
I would say. But yeah, he was always very much into watches. So that's where I sort of picked up the bug, I guess.
I've spoken to a few watch collectors, or enthusiasts as yourself. Everyone tends to have some kind of philosophy behind their collection. Mm-hmm. Is there something that you go by?
Not really. It's more of a hoard than it is a collection. Mm-hmm. I think if you're a collector, you're a bit more focused and a little bit more into certain complications or into certain brands, or maybe into a certain area like dive watches or aviation watches, or maybe into vintage. I'm sort of into everything, as long as it speaks to me, as long as it makes me smile. That's really important. And as long as it fits well on my wrist, so I would actually wear it. I bought my first nice watch 25 years ago or something.
Yeah.
And you also go to different phases. So it's really, you start again, probably with a Rolex, or that's what you think is the highest possible. And then throughout the years, you just go into different brands, different complications. Mm-hmm. And I've been very lucky throughout my watch collecting journey. In the beginning, let's say early 2000s, I really got into nicer watches. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Now, I have presented you a three watch collection challenge today. Yeah. Was it difficult to come up with the three we have in front of us?
It was nearly impossible. But actually, it was also a good exercise to really look into my collection or my hoard. What is important to me? What is... Well, you asked three favorites, but that's, I think, impossible. I could probably pick 10 favorites, but then still, how do you find something from three watches which you would keep as a watch collection, three watch collection? I don't believe in three watch collections, by the way. I think that's unfair to make limitations like this, but if I really have to, and I have to tell my story as a watch collector, then probably this would be it. Okay. Or maybe tomorrow I have a different idea about it.
Lovely. Now, let's not waste any more time. I'm excited to see what you have brought in today.
Yep.
Where would you like to start?
I'm Dutch, so we have to start with Orange, I guess. It's one of the more special watches because this is Groeneveld, which is a Dutch watch brand. They're completely independent. They're actually two brothers close to the German border, but they used to work in Switzerland where they learned making watches. But their, I would say, granddad, maybe even their great-granddad was already a watchmaker. But those two brothers went into high-end watchmaking, or at least the high-end watchmaking schools in Switzerland. Worked for the same where the movements from Audemars Piguet and stuff come from. And at some point, apparently, they thought, well, let's just start doing it together. And then they started making some very special watches.
Is that also another selling point to you, the fact that it's a... Well, it's a family-owned brand, isn't it?
Independent, I think, is very important or interesting. This indeed is one of the most famous independent brands, I would say now, because this watch actually won GPHG for Chronograph of the Year. So it was selected by all the other important people in the watch world, let's put it that way, as the most important chronograph of that year, because it has a party trick. So these two brothers have made a couple of special watches throughout the years that they have existed. It was not always easy for them, but at some point they won, I think in 2016 or 17, don't pin me on it, they won another GPHG for the watch that was before this. That was based on the church, actually, that was in their village.
Okay.
That's where they became very famous and very successful. And, well, this is their latest model. What makes Groeneveld so special? Mainly the finishing, the movement and how it's finished and how it's designed. That's probably also why Louis Vuitton, when they launched out their new tambour that some people are speaking highly of, very clearly copied this style. But that's machine finished. People often don't look at it close enough to see the difference between what's machine finishing and what's hand finishing. But there is a very, very clear difference, and it does not get any better than this.
Beautiful. Is this the original band of the Groeneveld?
Yes, probably the only one in the world on an orange band, but I really wanted an orange band, so they made one for me. It's an ostrich band. It comes with multiple bands, so it's not that bad that I only can wear it on orange, but it's limited to 25 pieces.
Yeah.
This is number 22. The case is in tantalum, which is a very complicated metal to work with, hard to polish and to make it look like this, but all the magic is essentially in the movement as well. The case is beautiful, the finishing is beautiful, but it is a very, very complicated chronograph because the party trick is that it has a soft reset. And normally chronographs go, of course, second, 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 and then you push stop and it resets and it goes like bam. This one goes to, it stops and then it goes softly back, like a soft closed door on some cars. That's what this does. So yeah, this little wheel here spits out that excess energy, and then you see the hand go very nicely back and slowly into place.
So this is an absolutely stunning piece, and I thank you for bringing it in today.
Yes, my pleasure. Yeah, I'm very proud and happy with it. I was very lucky to get it as well. So that was a case of being in the right time and the right moment, because I happened to walk into the Groeneveld shop in Holland when I was in Holland, and I sent them an email if I was welcome to see their shop, because I sort of learned throughout watch collecting that I really need to try watches on before I buy them. They didn't have this model then, by the way, but when I went for a different model. It was quite expensive watch, so I didn't want to just blindly order it. So I went there, I said, okay, can I come? They're, we don't really do that, it's not our thing. So can I please come? I just be 5 minutes, I just want to see one in real life, because you don't see them at different shops or boutiques or anywhere. Okay, I get to go there. I tried the watch. I think, okay, it's very beautiful. But of course, when you talk to watch enthusiasts and have the same passion, you keep talking and talking. And they showed me the case for this watch, actually. And then based on that, they told me, okay, we went to the Watch and Wonders in Geneva. It could be another thing, but my memory is not 100%. But they went somewhere where they had it in their pocket. They didn't have a stand. They showed it to some enthusiasts. And at that moment, they already sold 20 of them, sort of. And it's 25. So I was like, okay, you already sold 20 of them just out of your pocket. Maybe it's a good thing to get one as well. And then I can, well, it takes 2 years to build one. I can figure out how to make that money in that meanwhile. And hopefully
make it
by the end of it. There's something, give me one of the later numbers. That's why I'm number 22. I just wait. So then when it's finally done, I get it. I was very, very lucky to get one.
Your second watch looks to me like a dive watch. Would you like to tell us the story behind that one? Are you a diver?
Yeah, I've been diving most of my life as well. I used to be a diving instructor when I was 19 or something, so a long, long, long time ago. I was actually a student. I was doing my internship, and being Dutch, I had to go to a Dutch-speaking country. So I thought, okay, not so many Dutch-speaking countries around, but we have some Caribbean islands from our disputed heritage, which I could do my internship at a dive school. So for me, that was perfect to combine my university of marketing or communications together with my passion for diving. I thought, that's great, let me go there. That's actually why I got this watch. This is my oldest watch in my collection, because it's a 25-year-old diving computer, which is, well, actually worth nothing, but I'm still wearing it, I'm still using it, and still traveling with it. But from there on also, I had a passion for dive watches. So throughout the years, I've collected or bought multiple dive watches, also there. Special complications and special versions were always very welcome for me. But at some point you start looking further and I wanted something special. It's difficult to get a piece unique. Luckily you have Seikos, which can be easily modded. And modded means modified. So you ask, or even yourself online, you can order parts. All the parts are there. And you essentially modify an existing watch into whatever you want it to be. This one is a little bit wild. I found a really nice modder from Toronto. His Instagram handle is NH Labs.
For a dive watch, it is quite dressy, isn't it? Really cold, and the face is quite loud.
Yeah, it is a bit loud, but that's why I have functional watches. If you're really honest, there's always this term tool watches being thrown around. I know very few people who go diving with their submariners and go racing with chronographs, because essentially digital watches now are tool watches. You can use them for playing golf. I have a really nice Casio watch, which is for surfing. Diving I do with this. I don't really necessarily dive with dive watches. Actually, I've been diving with the next watch, but we'll talk about that, which is another dive watch, just for fun, to see if it works underwater and to see if it's indeed waterproof. But this indeed I've been diving with as well, but it's not my common dive watch. This is more to signify my diving journey. It's also to show that not every special watch has to be expensive. This is probably $600 or something, so less than $1,000 Aussie. It has a very special dial inside. It's from the 70s Seiko. So it's from back in the 70s, there were Seikos which were still hand-painted, essentially. So it's hand-lacquered. You will see how much life there essentially is in the dial. It's very hard to see for somebody else what's happening inside, but there is like a wave pattern.
Yeah, you can definitely see that in the face. Even that color is extremely unique.
Yeah, so it's very, very special dial. The original watch is not so special, but then, okay, I decided to, together with a watch modifier, to find some cool parts and some special. So it's indeed gold with a ceramic bezel. But also inside, you see on the end of the... Yes, there.
I just noticed the shark on the end of the hand.
Yes.
So, was that your selection?
It was available, so that is perfect.
Amazing.
For a dive watch. If the light shines on it correctly, you will see the shadow, which is beautiful, going through the waves. And it's actually very special, but very, well, essentially affordable for such a unique watch. Again, I'm not necessarily a super purist, so I'm not very much essentially into movements which have to be like this. A Seiko movement is a beautiful movement. Cannot really be against a Seiko movement. It always runs on time. It's very, very simple. It's durable. Of course, in-house movement like the Groeneveld, it is something completely different level. And then a movement that has like 408 pieces inside or something.
That's gorgeous.
I'm very happy with it. There's a couple of things that I hadn't seen before on watches as well. So again, complications or materials, I like to mix it up a little bit and find different angles to the same solution, essentially.
Amazing. Thank you for bringing your Seiko in today.
Yeah.
The last one, a Chopec. I've never seen a skeletonized dial with a brand.
Yeah, they have recently indeed launched a skeleton dial, but it's really new.
Okay.
But this is indeed a Rattrapante, to make it extra complicated. Chopec is an independent brand as well. Quite new, but the history of Chopec is much older. Mr. Chopec was the teacher of Mr. Patek, and everybody knows Mr. Patek from Patek Philippe, but they're both Polish. From Poland, they moved to Switzerland to start their watches business. Patek became world famous and, of course, heavily, heavily sold after, not for mortals normally to buy. Interesting and complicated journey if you want to buy a Patek. I've been through that journey, and that's also what puts me a little bit off with these mainstream brands. Chopec went bankrupt, but it was restarted by a couple of lovely people. They really put so much effort in there and kept the brand heritage and the brand design alive. And somehow they have managed to create an iconic looking watch in such a short time, because their strap is very recognizable. Their, even though this is a skeletonized, but their normal dial faces are very recognizable as well. Their layout is from their heritage with the chrono circles, or if they have other complications in there, at the same position. And yeah, this was my favorite version of all their watches. So
okay,
that's the Chopec box ticked, but it's a watch I love to wear and wear a lot.
I mean, the bracelet, like, it's so unique, and it's just, yeah, it's a stunning bracelet they carry.
Yeah, you can see there the engineering that goes in there is absolutely mind-boggling. You can see the detailing, you can see it in the movement, you see it in other movements as well of theirs. And the funny thing is, a Serbian friend had an AP chronograph, and we hold it side to side, and it's so much more elegant, essentially. And that's very cool to see how a young watch brand can deliver a quality and a finishing that rivals the fancy brands everybody knows and talks about.
So being an independent brand, was there a wait on this one, or did you get lucky?
Traveling a lot, I have a lot of contacts. Luckily, are always willing to help me, just like I help other people in the watch industry. So it's like, if you have the right people around you, everybody helps each other get stuff they really want. You need to get lucky still, of course, but apparently sometimes things roll my way.
So would you say you're happy with the current state of your watches?
I'm pretty happy. I'm a watch enthusiast from Seikos and from Swatches and from Casios. I even have the cheapest Swiss watch ever, which is like a supermarket watch for €5. Up until more than $100,000 watches, I'm very happy where it is. I have a short list or maybe a long list of some watches which I, as a kid, liked, or which I saw with my dad, or which spoke to me, or which are for me significant. If I see a good deal or good version pop up, then I will add it. There will always be more watches coming, but again, it's not a collection, it's more a hoard, so it's pretty hard to be unhappy with it.
Any proposed changes? Are you eyeing anything off for 2024?
I don't really sell anything. That's why I'm probably a hoarder. And I just keep everything, which is some things have a story to me, and that's why things are important to me. And then it doesn't matter what the monetary value is. I got rid of one of my Rolexes for actually the Seiko. So okay. It's because there was too much overlap. It was also a blue dial with a gold two-tone Submariner called the Bluesy, and I wore it on a rubber anyway, which is unconventional, but I like them on a rubber. And for me, it was too similar. So, okay, then I get rid of that Submariner. But since the Submariner is important, then I buy another Submariner that is different than this one, and it's a vintage one. And then that, for me, works then again. So that balances out the collection. Yeah, there will be things coming. There's always additions and interesting things on the market. It's probably going to be Uhrwerk. Uhrwerk is also an independent brand. They just launched last year a new version. The nickname is the Spock because, the numbers open up like this and then they flip over and then make the number again. It's a very complicated watch. It's a beautiful watch. It fits me perfectly on the wrist, which is making it hard to deny, but it's also an expensive watch. And that's the problem always.
It seems to me that you have a preference with independent over mainstream watches. Where did that come from?
I do like mainstream brands as well. I do have Rolexes, I do have APs, I do have Patek. So it is, I'm covered on that, but I do not have a special love for these brands. Let's take the biggest mainstream brand. Let's talk about Rolex. Mm-hmm. If you really look at what Rolex is doing, it's a beautiful marketing brand. Being a marketing person myself, I'm very impressed by Rolex. They really position themselves as the ultimate luxury brand. Just like Mercedes has done that, they're not the best cars either. Just like Moët & Chandon has done that, they're not the best champagne either. So what they've done is through marketing, position themselves in a beautiful, layer of being an ultimate brand. So most people who are not that deep into watches think, okay, a Rolex, that's the ultimate watch. If I would put any basic Rolex in these and take the Seiko out, 99% would choose the Rolex being the ultimate watch. But if you look at what Rolex does, is make watches which are either telling time more detailed, which are the chronographs, which is a Daytona, great. I've had a couple of Daytonas. Or they tell it more elaborate with a date or even a day date, or sometimes they even have the month in there, but then it stops. Oh yeah, they also have a couple of watches which are waterproof, or even more waterproof. It's also very impressive. It's really essentially very basic watches. The finishing is great, beautiful brand, beautiful watches as well, but I don't think it's better than a Grand Seiko or whatever. I think the independent brands, indeed, they might fight a bit harder. They try a bit harder, depends on which independent brand. So let's not take all the independent brands are better, but I told you about, indeed, Zapek versus AP. It really makes an AP look clunky, and that's a Royal Oak chronograph. I'm maybe too deep into watches as well. So yes, I'm an extreme watch nerd. So that's a bit of a problem. Most people who have a Royal Oak don't even know where the name Royal Oak comes from, or don't have any clue what's inside. It is just, for them, a watch which other people like. I very much like watches I like. And I like also being anonymous, having an expensive watch on your wrist. Nobody will look at it. It's a very nice, nerdy hobby, which nobody essentially cares about. Which is great. 99% of the people, 99.99%, will not blink an eye at this chronograph. Great. I love that. And that's just the way I enjoy it the most.
Flip, we do have to wrap things up for now. It was absolute joy to have you in the show today.
Pleasure was all mine.
And guys, if you enjoyed today's episode just as much as I did, be sure to check out our other content. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss out on the next free watch collection. Yeah.